بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. تبریک عرض میکنم به شما.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم. The following is the full text of the speech delivered on July 29, 2014 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials and the ambassadors of Islamic country in the Islamic Republic of Iran. This meeting was held on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the Worlds, and peace and greetings be upon Muhammad and upon his immaculate household. I would like to congratulate you, dear brothers and sisters, who have participated in this friendly meeting, and the guests and ambassadors of Islamic countries on Eid al-Fitr. I hope that this Eid will be blessed and auspicious for you. And I congratulate the great people of Iran, all Muslims throughout the world, and all religious and liberated nations in each and every part of the world on the occasion of this Eid. According to the works and statements of great religious personalities, one of the characteristics of Eid al-Fitr is that it is the Eid of the United Islamic Ummah. Open quote. He is one who has turned this day into an Eid for Muslims. Close quote. This is a quote from the prayer recited during Eid al-Fitr. It is the Eid of all Muslims. This means the outlook of the holy religion of Islam is towards building an Islamic Ummah. The same outlook exists in the teachings of the great prophet of Islam. When we look at many Islamic teachings, we witness an effort for creating a united Ummah. Today, the Islamic Ummah is disintegrated. This disintegration does not mean differences between Islamic denominations. These differences are natural and they are not contradictory to forming a united Ummah. Different beliefs and opinions can exist on major and minor issues alongside a united Ummah. What has separated Muslims from one another today is policies, political motivations, and motivation for seizing power. Muslim countries can pass through these motivations. This is the responsibility of political and influential personalities and those who have governmental positions in Islamic countries. If this happens, then a kind of power will emerge that is better than and superior to, in the real sense of the word, all transgressing and arrogant powers in the world. If this happens, no one will be able to bully an Islamic country, and no power will be able to blackmail Islamic countries and Muslim governments. If we stay together, if we pay attention to and focus on our common points, if hunger for power, selfishness, dependence, and corruption do not separate us from one another, then a power will be formed that can defend and support the rights and interests of 1.5 billion Muslims. But unfortunately, such a thing does not exist today. What we can see in front of our eyes today is the events of Gaza and of Palestine. Why do Zionist aggressors give themselves the right to attack a Muslim country in a way that the heart of any viewer in the world is filled with sorrow and sympathy? Do they do this because they have destructive weapons, airplanes, missiles, bombs, explosives, and gunpowder? You witness the demonstrations in Western countries. Of course, people in Western countries become aware of these events as much as the hidden censorship apparatuses allowed them. The hidden censorship apparatuses do not allow people to become aware of the truth. The truth is much more bitter and much more tragic than what the Western media networks allow to be reflected about the issues of Gaza. Despite this, you can witness that even this level of awareness is shaking the hearts of the people in those countries that know nothing about Islam. The event of Gaza is so bitter and heartbreaking. But today, the world of Islam does not have the power to react to and stop this transgression and savagery and the bloodthirsty desire of the Zionists. This is why the people of Gaza are alone. Not only do arrogant powers who are happy about the presence of Zionism in the heart of the Middle East region in order to pursue imperialist goals in this way not support the oppressed, but they also support the oppressor with complete shamelessness. It is the responsibility of the world of Islam to do something in this regard. Our message to the world of Islam and Islamic governments is that you should benefit from your power and from public, national, and governmental capabilities to support the oppressed. You should make the enemies understand that the world of Islam will not sit idle in the face of savagery and transgression. This is our message to Islamic governments. Although it is true that we may have differences of opinion with certain Islamic governments in different political and non-political areas, all of us should forget about these differences for the sake of the issue of Gaza. A part of the Islamic Ummah, in the form of an oppressed people, is struggling hard in the claws of a bloodthirsty and blood-sucking wolf. Therefore, everyone should help them. This is what we want to say. Today, the issue of Gaza is the first issue of the world of Islam. The Holy Prophet said, open quote, "Whoever wakes up in the morning and does not think about attending to the affairs of Muslims is not a Muslim." Close quote. Attending to this issue should be at the top of the list of all people in the world of Islam. All people and nations, particularly governments and officials in different countries, should think of ways to help the people of Gaza. Two tasks should be carried out. One is helping the oppressed. Helping the oppressed means providing them with basic needs. Today, they need food, medicine, hospitals, water, electricity, and reconstruction of their housing and their cities. The world of Islam is responsible for providing these things. They need weapons as well. The enemy wants to disarm them so that he can attack them whenever he wants, whenever he has an excuse, or even when he does not have an excuse. He wants to do something to make them incapable of reacting to him. The enemy wants this. The firm determination of the world of Islam should show itself in the face of this illegitimate claim of the enemies. This is the first task that should be carried out, which is helping the oppressed. Open quote, "Be a helper of the oppressed." Close quote, Nahjul Balagha, letter 47. You should be a helper of the oppressed. This help is one that falls on the shoulders of the entire world of Islam. We say to Muslim governments, the ambassadors of Muslim governments that are present in this meeting, from this podium, let us join hands and work together to help the people of Gaza and to overcome the obstacles that the Zionist regime has created on this path. Let us offer every kind of help to the people of Gaza. The second task that should be carried out is to confront those people who are committing this great historical oppression, who are the perpetrators of this genocide, and who are displaying the shamelessness and brazenness in committing crimes and murdering people. One really becomes surprised at their shamelessness in giving reasons for killing civilians. They are so shameless. They try to justify killing little, innocent, and oppressed children. They are totally shameless and impudent. Those who are committing these crimes are psychopaths. They are the perpetrators of these crimes, but they are not the only people who play a part in them. Today, anyone who supports the Zionists, including the officials of arrogant countries such as America, England, and the like, as well as international organizations including the United Nations and other such organizations, which support the Zionists with their silence, opinions, and unreasonable statements, are an accessory to this crime. The entire world of Islam, all Islamic governments, and all Muslim nations are responsible for opposing and confronting them. They should condemn them and express their hatred of the Zionists. They should criticize those who adopt this position of supporting Zionism. This is a communal responsibility. Everyone should isolate them, and if they can, they should confront them through economic and political means. This is the responsibility of the Islamic Ummah. The people of Iran have thankfully shown that they stand firm in such arenas. We have shown this. The people of Iran do not have any considerations in the face of this malevolence and enmity. They do not have any considerations for such and such a power and such a personality. They openly say what they want to say. As you witnessed on the last Friday of the auspicious month of Ramadan, the people of Iran and men and women throughout the country took to the streets and made the whole world listen to their loud cry. This was while the weather was hot and while they were fasting. This was a necessary task that the people of Iran managed to carry out. And if it is necessary to carry out any other task, these people are a firm and resisting people. By Allah's favor, the goals and ideals of these people and the lofty goals and ideals of the Islamic Ummah will be achieved to the despair of the enemies. Dear God, by the blessedness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and his household alayhim assalam, familiarize us with our responsibilities and help us succeed in carrying them out. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.